Welcome back to Earth Matters. I'm your host, Kevin Bixby, and my guest today is Melissa Amarello, Executive Director of Advocates for Snake Preservation. And before the break, Melissa, we were talking about rattlesnake roundups. And I want to talk about other threats to snakes. But first, I want to talk about living with snakes. And what do you recommend that people do if they have a rattlesnake on their porch, or encounter one on the trail? Yeah, what do you do? I imagine you get quite a few calls from people asking for help.
We do, or hear stories after the fact, and then they're like, so next time around, what should we do? And, you know, when I first started talking to people about this, I was, you know, it's like, oh, you get excited and you take pictures and it's great. And and that's not not completely realistic for a lot of people. So it's a very complicated issue. So I think the for the longest time, the snakes showed up anywhere they weren't wanted, which for most people is anywhere that a human sees them. And, you know, they got the shovel or the shotgun. That was the management. And, you know, I'm not sure when exactly it started. It's been the past few decades where, you know, the humane alternative of let's move them to a better place. And I think especially when that first started, you know, people would take them and just, you know, it's like, I'm going to take them out into the wilderness, you know, 10 miles from here. Cause that's, you know, that way they will never have to worry about crossing paths with another human again. And, you know, and in our eyes, you know, we're like, wilderness, what wild animal wouldn't rather live in the wilderness? But as this was done more and more, people started studying it. And it turns out that's not actually what the snakes want. and at least they don't do well. So the results are a bit mixed, but the consensus is that usually about half of animals that are moved outside of their home range, so those long distance relocations of, you know, more than a mile or miles, that most snakes do not do well with that. So about half of them die. And the reason for that is that they know their home very well. So for dealing with an adult snake, a baby snake would be different, but an adult snake knows all their hunting spots. They tend to reuse a lot of the same spots year after year. You know, they'll have an overwintering site or a couple different overwintering sites that they'll reuse. Some of them even return to the same places to look for females every year, or like a particular female that they know where she hangs out in August so they can go find her. And so they know all of these places very well, and that is how they survive and how they've made their living. So when they're plucked out of that situation and put outside of that, they don't know where to find food. And what, you know, we can't read their minds, but just based on they make a lot of erratic movements when they're moved outside of their home range. And it seems like they're probably trying to find those familiar spots, you know, maybe trying to get back to where they're coming from. But just because in general, snakes don't make super long migratory movements. I mean, there are some places north of us where they may, from their winter overwintering site to their summer, like travel 3 miles, but in general, they don't make long migrations. So they're not capable of that sort of long range navigation. So they do a lot of wandering, and a lot of times they end up, you know, wandering onto a road and getting hit by a car, or just behaving in an erratic way and becoming more susceptible to predation, or just not being a successful hunter and starving to death. So those aren't as humane as I think a lot of people think. It's such a nice immediate like feel good of the snake is out of my yard where he's scaring me. And, you know, and I, you know, even if I like snakes and I'm totally cool with it, you know, I'm worried about my neighbor and he goes into his yard, like, chopping his head off, and you know, this person's going to take him to the forest, and that seems much better. I wish that worked really well, if for no other reason than I would like to start moving snakes that I find on roads to my yard, but they don't stay. Like, it doesn't work. So we recommend a few things, and it depends on the situation, it depends on the people, but the most important thing I think to keep in mind are two things. One is that most snake bites happen when people are handling or attempting to kill snakes. So anytime you see a snake, as soon as you're approaching it, regardless of what your intentions are, you have increased your chance of getting bit versus just leaving them alone. And the second thing is that there is no evidence that removing a snake from your yard, if that's the only thing you're doing is just removing it yourself or having someone else come and move it somewhere, that doesn't decrease your chances of a future snake encounter. So I think a lot of people think when the snake is moved that, okay, everything's safe now. And so because of those two things, what we try to encourage is to think about what it is about your yard that's attracting snakes. Why do they want to be there? You know, they're after the same thing all other animals are after, food. This is the Southwest, it's dry, so water can be a big one. Shelter, and, you know, secondarily to all those things, like other mates perhaps, but usually they're coming into yards because of shelter, food, or water. And so sort of thinking about how you can make your yard less attractive to snakes is one way to decrease your chances of this happening again, if it's already happened, or happening at all, if it's never happened. And there's also things you can do, you know, so just recognizing that you live in rattlesnake country, and the only way you can guarantee of not having rattlesnakes in your yard would be to move to Alaska or Maine. No rattlesnakes there. Or Hawaii, also a good choice. But around here, like, unless you're like dead center of Phoenix, you know, there are rattlesnakes that are going to show up probably. So in addition to trying to figure out how to make your yard less attractive, there's also different landscaping techniques and behaviors that you can do to make your chances of an encounter with a snake being more positive for everyone. So using lights when you're out at night, or just having like some gentle, you know, not those big spotlights that cause light pollution and mess up other animals, but those nice little like solar lights on the ground, just so you can see where you're stepping, or just use a flashlight. Having some clear, wide paths, you know, if you've got like a lush irrigated yard, which we like because that attracts, you know, birds that people generally love, and pollinators, and all that stuff is great. Our yard is like that too. But you want to have some clear walking paths so that you can watch where you're putting your hands and feet, and you're not putting them someplace that's too close to a snake that's hunting in that area. If you have things in your yard that are snake attractants, so piles of like wood or other debris attracts rodents, attracts snakes, lush vegetation, and you probably don't want to get rid of all that, a pond. But, you know, maybe you can move it to a place where you're not constantly having to walk by it, or you can set it up in such a way that you can move safely around it and see what's there without the danger of a snake like sneaking up. Well, you're not sneaking up on they're not sneaking up on you, you're sneaking up on them, but so you can see. And so we have some workshops where we go through a lot of this. We talk about some of the native snakes and, you know, who you might see, who you might encounter, what their habitat's like, and then we also go through some of these things you can do around your house in a bit more detail than I just talked about now, because it's like a 3-hour workshop. Right. And yeah, so it's a combination of those things. And, you know, none of that does the immediate, like, there's a rattlesnake on my porch, and that's, you know, unless it's my house, my personal house, like, nope, nobody wants that. It's not a safe thing. And so that is the case where moving them a short distance, just getting them off the porch, you know, getting them out of the immediate, like, high traffic area does make sense. That is the safest thing, but not moving them so far to where it's going to be detrimental to them, and making sure you know how to do it safely, or can find someone that can do it safely for you, and also is doing right by the snake. So we have workshops, we have a website with more details on this information, and we have a brochure, and we've also started doing, and we haven't talked about whether we would be able to come as far as Las Cruces, because that's a bit of a haul for us, because we actually live outside of Silver City, but we started doing house visits where we come and we look at your yard and tell you, you know, this is where we think, this is what we think would attract a snake, and this is how you could modify it or how you could move safely around it so that you can peacefully coexist with the snakes.
Oh, that's great. And do you charge for that service?
So it's a mix. It's going to depend on how far someone is. For most of the work that we do, like our educational presentations, we don't have set fees because this is our mission. This is why we're here. But we are a nonprofit organization. If people can help offset, you know, our travel costs, we very much appreciate that if they can donate to the organization. And, you know, that also helps for those who are able. That means when there's someone who's already a bit reluctant to do this and, you know, or can't afford to pay, you know, that'll make it easier for us to be able to continue offering those things for free. Mm-hmm. And this would be less of a house visit thing, but, because there's so much outdoor recreation in this area, we also have some information and a brochure on what to do when you encounter snakes on the trail, because this probably seems kind of crazy to a lot of people listening to Earth Matters, but, you know, even in places like a park where snakes, just like all the other wildlife, are protected, a lot of people think that they're doing a public service by killing a rattlesnake on a trail because it's, you know, potential threat to someone. It's more common than we'd like to think. And, you know, it seems pretty common sense to a lot of us that you wait until they move off the trail, you walk around if you can do it safely. It's not common sense to a lot of people. A lot of people just, you know, think that, you know, we should kill them. So that's a newer thing we've added to this program is, since we live in an area now where that, you know, is so much mountain biking and hiking and backpacking around here, to help people with that, because we don't want for people moving to this area from other parts of the country, which is also something that came up when we moved here and we started talking to people at festivals. I don't want the fear of running into a rattlesnake because of what they've seen, how they think that's going to play out based on what's on TV, to keep them from enjoying the Gila. I mean, what a bummer. And we had people come up who were afraid. They had moved here because it was pretty, and then it clicked that, like, there are rattlesnakes here. And so then they were afraid to, like, get out and enjoy the forest and the river because they might run into a snake, and then they didn't know what to do.
Well, your educational programs are providing such an important service, so thank you for doing those. We have to take a short break, and then we'll be right back.